Hey everyone, Chat Cemetery is back. I'm your host, Deanna Chapman, and today I'm joined once again by Drew Deitch to talk about a third Mangler movie that nobody asked for. It is titled The Mangler Reborn. Drew, thank you, and I'm sorry.
No. Look, we had our original episode on the first Mangler, and then Travis joined us for the Mangler 2 graduation day, and I'm here finishing this out. Thankfully, there will be no more Mangler movies after this. Although, you know, I somewhat went to bat for the first movie, and I'll stand by that. But the Mangler Reborn. I mean, I can say I've seen all the Mangler movies now. That's I think the most productive thing that came out of watching the Mangler Reborn is being able to say I've seen all the Mangler movies.
You, me, and maybe two other people.
Yeah, right. Because the Mangler Reborn, like the core idea is that the story is going to be built around that. Oh, this guy got a piece of the machine from the original story, the original movie, and is rebuilding it, and it's making him go crazy and kill people and feed them to it. On paper, that's a fine enough way to make your own Mangler movie. However, would you say The Mangler Reborn is one of the like lowest production quality films you've done for Chat Cemetery?
Yeah, I mean, I did cover the student film of The Lawnmower Man, which obviously not a whole lot of budget there, but it was also only roughly 10 minutes long. So it's right. Not like an hour and a half that I'll never get back, you know,
sure.
Which is how I felt by the time this ended. And there have certainly been low, low budget Stephen King adaptations, but this one really felt like it looked like it was low budget the most.
Yeah, I mean, this came out, I think, 2005.
Yeah.
And, you know, direct-to-video. And this is clearly being shot on prosumer equipment of the time. You know, prosumer digital equipment. Now that being said, having the kind of first real start of my professional entertainment writing career was I had to review movies like this that were, you know, straight to DVD videos that a lot of people probably never even heard of or knew existed or certainly ever saw. And so I've seen a lot of these kinds of movies, and I want to give The Mangler Reborn at least a little bit of praise, because this is not the worst of those that I've seen in terms of like film composition. There's actually some really good shot composition in this movie, and the lighting is functional, with some shots actually being really good. There was a shot of a character hiding under a bed that was a close-up on her face, and the lighting in that was, it's like, oh, this actually looks pretty good, like they thought this out. So I want to at least give it that. It's still going to appear very amateur, because it is very amateur. The edit on this movie has all the telltale signs of being one of these kind of amateur productions. Shots last just a little too longer than they feel like they should. The opening credits of this movie should give you an idea what you're in for, because it is just they go on for so long, and it's this, you know, very, very, very homebrew style attempt at doing something like the opening credits in Seven. But in this, you know, it's just a bunch of newspaper articles, and I'm saying that with air quotes, like printed out on a home printer, you know, with like the X-Files font that they picked or whatever. It's like, ooh, that looks, you know, official documenty. And they do this for all the opening credits while also using the same technique to make up these fake articles about, you know, the backstory to the machine. So they go on for, you're like, oh my gosh, this is it has the feel of a thing that they shot at like their summer home, you know, for a week. Even though this has recognizable semi-professional to professional actors in it.
Is it safe to say that Reggie Bannister is sort of the most well-known?
Yeah, oh, for okay. Sure. I mean, I think that's the whole reason they give him top billing, when his character is not, you know, is so inconsequential. And it's clear that they had Reggie for like 2 days. I've met Reggie at horror conventions before, and he is a super, super nice guy, and the interactions that I've had with him, and has done a ton of movies like this. And he's certainly a welcome presence. I was glad at least he was in the movie. That's another positive I have for The Mangler Reborn. The other notable actor would actually be Amy Brooks. She plays her character's name, I think, was Jamie. And she's kind of the main female victim, because if you're basically if you're anybody in this movie that's not the antagonist, you're a victim. And she's actually known for, she did some TV work. I know her from Critters 3 as one of the lead characters from Critters 3, because that's how my life turned out. As I know somebody because of Critters 3. So me, I was like, oh, it's the she was the young girl in Critters 3. So again, like, happy to see him and hope they got paid well for this. But otherwise, the movie is just a very, very, it's not fair to call it simple. Like, it's a very lazy script as far as the what you're going to watch unfold over the course of the running time.
Yeah, and you gave it some credit for the lighting, and it was one of those things where you could tell the budget was so low, because you could see where there was potential, but overall, the story, you were kind of just like, we didn't need this at all, because this one tries to be a sequel to The Mangler much more than The Mangler 2 does.
Yeah.
And the problem is, we don't really care.
It doesn't matter. It's inconsequential. This could be its totally own original thing, not named The Mangler, and it functions just the same.
Because it's not even a laundry machine, really. So it's not really reborn.
No, it's just that I don't know exactly. It's like he's gotten pieces of it, or a piece of it, and is building his own thing. And it's like, okay, whatever.
It's like it possessed him.
Sure. And I guess, so that's what the main story is it's this one guy, his name's Hadley, who's some kind of repairman.
Plumber or something.
Yes. I'll say this, the actor that I assumed that the actor that was playing him was like some local person, you know, but it turns out he's actually been kind of a career actor, like showing up in a bunch of television series, and apparently has roles in notable movies like Pleasantville and Kiss the Girls and stuff. And in the first 2 minutes of this movie, I was like, okay, well, at least I'm on board for him, because he gets a capital A acting moment in the beginning when he's yelling at his wife. And they're having an argument.
Yeah.
And he's got a very like big booming theatrical voice. I think they might have overdubbed him and not used his on-set recording, so they actually sounded better, because his voice is that good. And it was fun and humorous and entertaining. But for the majority of the movie, that's it. Like, he doesn't say hardly anything else throughout the movie. He's just walking around Michael Myers style, and there's a couple shots, again, to compliment what I can about this movie, there's a couple of shot compositions where he shows up at Jamie's place as the repairman for the first time, and they frame him sort of Michael Myers-ish, where it's like he's to the far side of the frame and you can't see his face, it's just kind of his upper torso and shoulders, and it's like, okay, like, it's like you said, I can see the potential, it's there somewhat, but good Lord, is just the movie nothing else.
Yeah. It really felt like by the end of it, I didn't really watch anything at all, you know, in a sense, because I was like, I know all of these things just happened in front of my eyes, but it didn't make me feel anything. And I think that's a problem if a movie doesn't make you feel anything. You know, I put in my Letterboxd review, why do I keep doing this to myself? And that only thing I felt after watching it.
Well, but you know, on a larger scale, I think it's very important, and I think it's good for you and just your kind of anybody's film education. You should watch movies like this.
Yes.
Because they actually, you can learn a lot more about filmmaking by watching movies like this than you can anything that's relatively mainstream. Because this is a movie that can like you'll start to know, it's like, why am I feeling this way? And a great example is like Reggie Bannister's character is is this career criminal. They're showing up at the house where all these murders are happening. Him and his son. There's a shot of him trying to get into the house, and it's this really far away wide shot, and the whole shot is Reggie like entering the frame, walking around the house, like walking around this whole side and exiting to the right side of the frame. And that's it. Nothing happens in the shot. And it takes so much time and it's so unnecessary. There's no economy of storytelling in the cinematic decisions in The Mangler Reborn. It's so much stuff like that where a character will exit the frame and the shot will last like 2 seconds after that's done. And it's like, what?
It just lingers.
Yeah, and I don't know if they're trying to do it for atmosphere or whatever, but the language isn't doing that. And then like there's times when there was one point where they just cut to the machine in the basement. And it's just a static shot of this machine. There's nobody in there, and they just put like an ominous hum over it. Nothing happens, and that's like they're like, well, that got us another 30 seconds done, like to fill this thing out to feature length running time.
There was so much filler in it, and there's so much time with Reggie Bannister's character and his son in the car, too, and you're just like, are they going in or not? Can you just make up your mind? Because the whole back and forth and the thing about the smoking and not smoking, I was like, okay, we get it. You know, it's like an awkward thing for you two to be doing this together, because it was very clear that, you know, they didn't have the best father-son relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we didn't need that much of it to understand that.
No, that I mean, that's the thing is that, like I say, there's no economy in the storytelling. And that certainly accounts for the script, too, because these characters, they roll in the first time we see them and we just get all of their exposition all at once, like in one big giant dump. And it's exactly what you're saying, where it's like you could communicate this information and a relationship and a dynamic in a much shorter amount of time, especially for the amount of time that they're actually going to be involved with the story. Because like Reggie Bannister, like I said, I guarantee 2 days, maybe three maximum, because they might have had to do some pickups or something. But because there's the day they had him where they shot everything in the car, which is all the dialogue, and then there's the day they had him when he did stuff in the house. Right. Like that, those are the 2 days he worked on this movie, I guarantee it. And so that's the thing, is like they get all of their big, they're like, we got Reggie Bannister for 1 day, like we're gonna give it, you know, this is the scene, we got to make it happen. And Reggie does what he does, you know, what he can, because he's Reggie. But yeah, there's no interesting characters. And like I said, that the movie is just victim after screaming victim, that the character, like they try to make Jamie a character where her boyfriend dumps her like that day or something. I don't know what the time frame of what happens in this movie.
Yeah, everything was so off on this. You're like, okay, did she break up with her boyfriend, like get fired and call the plumber all on the same day?
I don't know. I have no answer for that. Like, it's impossible to know with a movie like this. It's a bummer. Like, as far as like ending the Mangler franchise, it's a big bummer to go out on, because it's also trying to be a bummer of a movie. Like, tonally, this is very different from the first two Mangler movies too. This is trying to be really dark and serious and I don't know. The movie that I honestly was thinking about while I was watching it, and this is not a compliment of quality or anything, was Joker, where it's like, oh man, this is just trying so hard to be like, this is brutal and nasty and mean and terrible, isn't everything, life is terrible. Like, and I get it from this period, because this is what, 2005, so this is, you know, post Saw and Hostel, I believe. So it's like, oh, that's the trend right now, is it's got to, you know, be really dark and violent and serious. That's what they took away from those movies, at least. And it's just a bore. There's like nothing. There's nothing to recommend for like the kill sequences, because they're all the same. It's just a person gets put on top of this little machine conveyor belt thing that they built, and they crank the frame rate so it's, you know, really choppy. And they have all of these like fake hatchets and butcher knives and stuff that are just clanging down. And so there's no good like close up on any of the effects. In fact, they're, you know, a lot of the lighting they're using to, and these film techniques that they use are probably to hide just how janky all of the effects work was. And I commend them for the, you know, that. But there's just nothing. There's just nothing outside. I would say watch the first 2 minutes of this movie and that's it, because you get an actual performance from Weston Blakeslee, the main villain, whom his name's Hadley in the movie. His performance was like, hey, if this guy's going to anchor the movie and be doing funny stuff like this, I mean, he's not trying to be funny, but I can't help it. I'm ironically enjoying it. Then I could be on board because I find him really entertaining. But that's it. Otherwise, it's just a slog of a bunch of really, really poor, you know, like made in a summer house on the weekend type horror movie. If nothing else, it's made me only appreciate and back up my love of the original The Mangler even more.
Oh, absolutely. And because of the fact that you have someone with as big of a personality as Robert Englund in that one, you mm-hmm. can justify watching that one, you know, maybe even a few times at some point. And with the rest of these, it's like, we couldn't really recommend anyone watch The Mangler 2, one, because it was so hard to find. And mm-hmm. this one was relatively hard to find, too, unless you want to spend, you know, anywhere between 10 and 20 bucks on DVDs. And I don't think most people would find these movies to be worth that price point at this point. And it's very hard to recommend this one, too. It's one of those things where it's like, we watched it, so you don't have to.
Yeah, I mean, it was. I'm glad that we did this, if nothing more than it's like, I doubt there will be any more Mangler movies, that this is probably, in a weird way, its own bizarre, totally unconnected trilogy of films. And like I said, they're all very radically different from one another, from the plots to the tone to the production value. And that makes them interesting on kind of a archival level. But other than that, it's like, yeah, the first movie I think is worth the watch. I think it's very fun and I think people could find a lot to enjoy about it. But that does not mean it is above criticism. The Mangler 2, I enjoyed the experience of getting to watch that, you know, and have the conversation that you, Travis, and I got to have on Chat Cemetery about it, far more than anything from the actual movie. But this one's like, man, it's done. We wash our hands of The Mangler. And I mean, I will say, is this the most impressive as far as like quantity wise run, other than Children of the Corn, like getting, as far as adaptations, like getting the most mileage out of a Stephen King short story?
This and Sometimes They Come Back.
Yeah, because Sometimes They Come Back has what, three or four movies?
It has three as well, and one wasn't even supposed to be a Sometimes They Come Back movie, and it just magically ended up with one of the titles for it. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
it was something where it didn't take the same story and try to continue it. It just took the same concept and did two different stories, kind of like with The Mangler. And
mm-hmm.
I'm glad they've kind of stopped at three for some of these. I don't understand how Children of the Corn is still going. And I know I keep mentioning this a lot, but it's one of those things where I just don't get why that is the thing people held on to. And we're like, we're going to keep doing this one because it makes absolutely no sense to me. And with how many other Stephen King stories there are, you would think people would just get tired of making Children of the Corn movies.
Well, we'll have to see. There's another one.
Because there's like 11 of those now. They're in the double digits.
Yeah. I mean, so the Mangler, who knows if it will find life. I mean, at this point, I feel if there was ever to be more Mangler movies, that it would probably end up being another riff on the original story that was adapted for the first film. I don't think there would be any more of these, like, you know, it's a tying off doing its own thing. Like I think they would go back to the source, because The Mangler is a great title. And I think that's part of the reason why Children of the Corn has gone on for as long as it has. Clearly, it has nothing to do with the quality of the movies. It is the fact that it's a really good title that people have remembered, even if they know nothing about the story. So, yeah, it's, clearly we have nothing more to say about The Mangler Reborn. I'm glad we got through these together, though, Deanna.
Yeah, I am glad you took the lead on this episode, because I truly was like, I don't know what I'm going to have to say about this. And like you said before we started recording here, we were like 25 minutes, maybe, if we're lucky. And, you know, we're getting close here. But Drew, thank you so much for going through all three of these movies for me. I think we're both in agreement. The first one is the best one and possibly the only one you should watch.
Yes, the only one. Yeah.
I apologize that there are a few hours of your life that you will not get back due to The Mangler 2 and The Mangler Reborn.
We battled in those trenches together. That's what counts.
Yes, absolutely. And I am glad that someone was willing to do these ones with me, because it was one of those things where I was like, you know what? If no one signs up for some of these, I'm just not going to do them.
No, you don't need to add anything more to your already busy schedule.
Yeah, and, you know, we've discussed Children of the Corn numerous times, like I said, and I was just like, I don't know if there's a single person out there that really wants me to cover 10 or 11 Children of the Corn movies, because I know I don't want to.
Well, I will say when, I mean, this will probably be years from now, but if you get to this new one that's just come out, I would be willing to watch that one.
Okay.
I'll make that agreement on air. The new Kurt Wimmer Children of the Corn movie that was apparently playing in some theaters in Florida.
Well, that's a plus, considering most others didn't make it to theaters.
Exactly. This is officially a theatrically released Children of the Corn movie, and it's just called Children of the Corn.
We'll see. We'll see how I feel in a bit about that one. But Drew, again, thank you. And I'm sure you will either be back on Chat Cemetery for something else or Welcome to Geekdom. So I look forward to our next chat.
As do I. Always, no matter, even if we're having to do things like Mangler Reborn, it is just very fun to experience them with you, Deanna, and for all of you listeners out there. If anybody has listened to all of the Mangler episodes, please let us know, because you're amazing. Yeah. Well, then hi, Deanna's mom. But no, thanks. And yes, I will absolutely be back.
I look forward to it. All right, that does it for this episode of Chat Cemetery. You can support the podcast on Patreon for $1 a month. You'll get a thank you on the show. For $2 a month, I will send you a Chat Cemetery sticker. And if you want to follow us on social media, you can do so at Chat Cemetery on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You could also rate and review the show. That's a huge help. And as always, thank you for listening, and we hope you enjoy the rest of your day.